the Billy Graham News Conference at Southern Baptist Seminary on April 25th,
1974. All right, I'll be happy to sit down for a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think you all know enough to pick this up, but we are glad to have Billy, Dr. Graham, Professor Graham, as I'm jesting here, but we are glad to have him on our campus, and we will turn this matter over to you.
I do want to raise the point that this can be nowhere past 20-odd. This, we really should to try to conclude it at 11:30. We will go to 11:40 if necessary, but there are plenty of connections to make. We need to be here.
I would like to say that Dr. Lewis Drummond is the professor of evangelism, which has been named by the seminary, the Billy Graham Chair, which I'm highly honored that it is named, and highly honored that they had a man of such distinction as Dr. Drummond to be the professor, and also this the center, the evangelistic center that is here. And I have come here to fellowship with the faculty and to speak to the students. I used to come here more often, but as one gets older and the pressures mount and my own organization got bigger and more calls came from around the world, it's very difficult to touch base everywhere that I would like to. And I have apologized for not coming more often, and I hope to come more often in the future. And we have been invited to hold a crusade in Louisville. And we're giving serious consideration to coming here in the city for a crusade in 1976. And this would be an extended crusade in which we would be here for either 10 days or 2 weeks or longer, as the case may be, and we would hope that it would be nationally televised. And this is also one of the reasons for being here at this particular time. Now, I'll be happy to answer any question, unless it's a political question, and I'm skirting those questions at this particular time, as you might well understand. Where I'm on my way now to Phoenix, Arizona, where we start a crusade in next week, and I will be there for about 10 days at the Arizona State University campus and the stadium every night, and that crusade will be televised nationally. I'm going to Los Angeles first to hold a press conference on Monday morning in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Bowl, because this is the 25th year of my preaching and evangelism, and it's all started in Los Angeles 25 years ago this year. And so we're going to go back to the Hollywood Bowl in September, sponsored by the churches of Hollywood and Los Angeles, for 3 nights to hold services in commemoration of that crusade that began 25 years ago. And some people think, oh, there's been a rumor that I'm coming back there to announce my retirement. That is not true. I'm going to announce an intensification of my activities of preaching the gospel as long as God gives me the strength.
Dr. Graham, this may or may not be a political question, but do you feel, what is your position on amnesty? Is more and more focusing our attention upon it?
Well, I feel that as a Christian that I must base any remark that I make on this subject on forgiveness and love and mercy and understanding. I know some of these young men that are in some of these foreign countries, and some of them are there by real, genuine conviction. The Vietnam War was not like World War I. It was not like World War II. It was a strange, unpopular war. And we got involved in it as a nation. Many people disagreed about it, and many of the young people were influenced at that time. And many of them are truly patriotic Americans. Now, some of them might have gone for other reasons, but I think in each individual case ought to be considered on its own merit with the understanding that they are Americans.
So you would not favor across the board amnesty or forgiveness?
I'm not sure about that. I think this is something for study that I'm not sure that I have the answer to that at this point, because we have to think of future involvements and what it might mean to the future of the country. And we have to think of the men that served 8 years in prison camps in Vietnam and the fairness. All of this is involved. But I do believe that whatever decision is made ought to be based on Christian compassion and love.
Dr. Graham, in your sermon today, you spoke about the crisis that you felt in American spirits today, and also and related to the government. Do you feel that there's an overpowering the spirit among Americans right now?
Well, I sense among Americans discouragement, disillusionment, anger, frustration, and I think only a great spiritual awakening is going to calm the spirits of Americans, and that's why I'm delighted that the United States Senate, without a dissenting voice, has called for Tuesday, April 30th, as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I'm hoping that all Americans will observe it, because it's based upon the proclamation of Abraham Lincoln in 1863. He made 9 such proclamations, and when he died, he was writing another one. And I think that that's quite important for us to observe, because I think it is a crisis in the spiritual life of the country.
Do you think that's reflected in the government itself?
Oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. In every phase of American society. I think Watergate has pointed out many of the weaknesses within the government and many of the weaknesses within the system. I don't think that it's all involved in one person. I think it's involved in a whole system that has developed over a period of many years that needs changing and needs reform. And I think this is what the Senate and the Congress are going to attempt to do. I hope they're successful. But I think also we've got to reform the human heart. And this comes about through spiritual regeneration.
Dr. Graham, has your relationship with Mr. Nixon changed over the past few months?
Well, he's much busier, I think, than he used to be. And I don't talk to him as much as I used to. And I haven't seen him since the presidential or the national prayer breakfast in January. And I pray for him every day. And I pray for Senator Irvin, who's a longtime close friend of mine, and many of those men involved on both sides are longtime friends. And I pray that God will give them strength and courage and lead them in the direction that they will have the will to follow what God tells them to do, and that it will bring all of these men to a closer relationship to God.
Do you see yourself in any role as a personal counselor in this name?
No, except a spiritual counselor. I would keep any thing that I had it in any of this in a spiritual dimension.
If the president would ask you to come to him personally and see if he wanted your counsel, and he said to you, Dr. Graham, what should I do? Should I resign? Should I stick with it? What would you say to him?
Oh, I wouldn't tell you, I don't think, what I would say to him.
What do you think he should do?
He might not invite me if I told you what I... I wouldn't comment on that. Because we're involved now in a constitutional situation and a judicial process that's going to take its own course. And there are so many factors involved now in all of this that it's very difficult for me to comment. And so much that we don't know. New things come out every day that are a surprise to me.
Dr. Graham, do you foresee the possibility of the evangelization of the entire world within this generation?
Yes, I think that we now have the tools at our disposal to evangelize the world before the end of the century. And I think that there's a gathering momentum in nearly all religious groups, denominations, parachurch groups to do just that. And we're having a conference this coming summer in Switzerland to discuss the strategy for reaching the whole world in our generation with the gospel.
Has Watergate, I don't mean coming back to politics, but I think people recognize that early in the Nixon years, you were a prominent figure in government life. You were seen often with the president and with both parties. Have you been disenchanted with the leadership, the leaders as persons in this country?
I wouldn't comment on that except to say that I was with President Johnson more than I was President Nixon. And I think people forget that. And I was with President Eisenhower quite often. And I had the privilege of knowing the last five presidents. And what is happening is unfortunate and deplorable. And of course, I feel like all Americans. I hope they can resolve it as quickly as possible and get on with other problems that are moving in upon us, such as inflation and so forth. But I think the spiritual problem is still the basic problem that we face. And this is my area of ministry. And I think that it would be wrong for me to get into the political aspect of it.
Dr. Graham, you have said that you were one of the first American clergymen to speak out against Watergate. When and where?
This was in the New York Times on the op-ed page that the editors of the New York Times asked me to write on. I think it appeared, I'm sure they have it at the seminary here, the copy of it, 1,000 words. I think it appeared about May 4th of last year. I think that was the exact date, but I'm not totally sure on that. But I think that it was May 4th of last year, and I think I was one of the earlier clergy to at least write in such a prominent publication on the subject. I talked on Watergate and morality. And then in December, when I was at the White House to preach a sermon, I was interviewed by the editors of Christianity Today, a very in-depth interview on Watergate, and I answered their questions. And they proved to be devil's advocate type of questions. And they printed that, and this was carried by UP and AP and the New York Times, all the papers carried it, and the magazines. And I feel that now that I'm going to keep quiet in any in-depth area until after this judicial process has been finished. Because really, we don't know all the facts yet. We don't know what Mr. Jaworski knows. We don't know what all these people know and what facts they have and what will come out, and what you say today may not apply tomorrow, if you get into specifics, I mean. Now, in the basic things one can talk about when it comes to the moral questions and so forth.
What about our relationship with the Orient? You mentioned that earlier. Would you like to lead a crusade in, say, Red China?
Well, of course. My wife was born and reared in China and didn't come to America till she was 17, and she's hoping to go back to her home in China. And I would like to accompany her when she goes. Whether I will ever be allowed to preach the gospel in China again, I don't know. But I do know that there are many Christians in China today and many believers in China. And of course, the same is in the Soviet Union and millions in Eastern Europe. And we have quite a number of delegates, not from China, but from Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, that are coming to the Lausanne Congress on Evangelism this summer. And when we have the Baptist World Alliance, we always have quite a number of leaders from all these countries that attend the Baptist World Alliance, because the second largest denomination in the Soviet Union is Baptist. And they claim, I believe, about 500,000 Baptists in the Soviet Union.
Billy, we are expecting representatives to be here on our campus this summer when the Baptist World Alliance Executive Committee meets on the seminary campus in August, and we will have a delegation from the USSR, as well as Hungary is now scheduled and others.
Thank you very much. And you might be interested in knowing, I was reading a report the other day that the Baptists in Romania have doubled in the last decade.
Mr. Graham, that leads me to the question as to the spiritual atmosphere that you think exists behind the iron, but in the communist countries, first of all. What is the spiritual atmosphere? And secondly, the general spiritual atmosphere throughout the world. No man has his finger on the pulse of the spiritual expectations or apathy or whatever it might be of the world better than you.
Well, I think that there is a spiritual hunger throughout the world, but I don't believe that people are beating at the doors of the kingdom of God to get in. But I do believe that there's a greater receptivity to the gospel than any time that I have known in my lifetime throughout the world, because I think that a generation ago we thought science was the answer to everything. And now we realize that science has created Frankenstein monsters that could destroy the world. And so our gods have come tumbling down. And what God is going to be in their place? Now, we do have some danger signals. We have the occult, which has grown rapidly. We have inflation. We have a clashing of ideologies. And all of this happened in Germany in the 20s and the early 30s, which brought on Hitler. And these are signals that we ought to look in historical perspective and see if we can guard against the rise of another Hitler. Because the world right now is in a crisis of leadership. Where are the leaders? Whether you go to Germany, Mr. Bronzer, one of his top assistants, has just been arrested this morning for being a spy for East Germany. Mr. Wilson is in with a minority government. In France, they're caught in quite an election campaign that may divide the country more than it's been divided since the war. In the United States, we're bogged down in Watergate. Where's the leadership? And the world is sort of waiting for somebody to come on a white horse from the right or the left or the center or somewhere and say, this is the way, and speak with the dogmatism of a Hitler. And this, of course, becomes a danger, I think, in the world. But there is a spiritual hunger. And in, I think, Solzhenitsyn has been trying to say in his way, as much liberty as he's allowed, that there is faith. And Malcolm Muggeridge quoted recently a Soviet leader who defected to Britain. And he said, I don't know an intellectual in the Soviet Union today that doesn't share Solzhenitsyn's spiritual tone. Now, Solzhenitsyn, I think, still claims, of course, to be a communist, but he claims to be a Christian communist or a religious communist who believes in God. And he's written some magnificent prayers. And I remember the first book that he ever wrote that my wife read, I think it was published in 61, she said, I believe this man's a believer. And that was before he was as well known as he is today. And I think that some of the prayers that he has written indicate that he is a believer. And I read an interview recently that one of the Christian leaders in Norway did with him when he was in Norway recently. And I think that what Solzhenitsyn has said, or Stalin's daughter, she came out of the Soviet Union, she said, I can no longer live in a world without God. And man, the world over, believes in God. I mean, you can't, no ideology is going to eradicate man's faith in or belief in God. And even Mr. Khrushchev, when he was traveling over here, he said he would let slip many times scripture verses that he had memorized as a child. He said an old Russian saying says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he said, may God have mercy on you. And he said, pardon me, I don't believe in God. But underneath, they do believe in God. Because it's innate in man to believe in God. And the Russian people have always been a very religious people. And I don't think communism has eradicated that. And I think sometime there will be some sort of an accommodation between Marxism and Christianity. I don't know how it'll come. It won't come in my lifetime. But somewhere out there, if Christ tarries and doesn't come back, because I don't think that you can just tell people, you know, there's no God and expect them to believe it. They're just not going to believe it because down inside they know there is a God.
Mr.
Graham, you've shown a real interest in theological education merely by coming here, and you've commented several times on your association's interest in developing theological education, especially among evangelicals. Maybe you comment on some of your thoughts and plans for further involvement, and maybe in particular with this institution, in developing support and interest in bringing forth evangelical scholarship.
Yes, the thing that I would be quite interested in, and in fact we are doing now in a very limited way, we are offering scholarships to students abroad to study in seminaries in their locality, and we have some in this country in different seminaries that we are supporting. We don't shout it from the housetops, and we don't announce it very much, but we are. And we're helping, for example, an Anglican seminary in Uganda to keep open by financial help. We are helping the new theological seminary in Seoul, Korea, which is not a seminary, actually. It's a school of advanced theological education where a person can go and get their doctor's degree. And it's the only school, I believe, in the Orient that will be recognized by American schools. And I am terribly interested in theological advanced education and in seminary education. We do not intend to start a school of our own, by the way. Many pressures have come upon us to do it, and we are under constant pressure and enticement by both money and opportunities to have conference centers or to have Bible schools or seminaries and that sort of thing. But I felt that perhaps our ministry is just to keep on proclaiming the gospel, keep on in evangelism, and support the existing institutions as best we can, and especially, of course, my own denominational schools.
Dr. Graham, getting back to this country for a moment, do you feel that the controversy over President Nixon's tax situation has contributed to the moral crisis facing the nation?
Well, I couldn't answer that because I don't believe that the full report has come out. I don't think there was anything involved in fraud or anything like that. So I think what was happening, I think that the people who prepared his taxes were taking advantage of every legal opportunity to reduce his taxes. And I suppose many taxpayers do that. And of course, I think people were surprised at how little tax was involved and how few gifts were given. But I don't think that is a major crisis when people think through on it. I think some of these other things are more involved. I don't personally think that he knew too much about his own tax situation. He's too busy with those years with his rapprochement with China and the Soviet Union. That was true with his own election campaign. I don't think he entered into it very much. And some of these, he had the youngest staff in history of the White House, and I think they just did a lot of things that came as quite a surprise and a shock to him. I think we'll wait and see when all this comes out, but I like to hope that that's true. And for example, in my own case, everything my wife and I have, and most of what we have we inherited from my father, is in a trust. Now, a trust department at a bank pays all my bills. I don't write checks. They handle everything, and then they prepare my tax returns. And I just really glance at them because I trust them, and I sign them. But I think I would have been terribly disturbed had they come to me and said, well, now, here's your income, and here's how much tax, and if they showed me that I only owed a few hundred dollars in tax, I'd say, brethren, let's pay a little more in the position that I hold as a preacher of the gospel. I can't, and I would think that this is probably, if the president is at fault, this would be a fault that in the position of president, that I would want to know a little bit more if I were only going to pay a few hundred dollars on a earning of $300,000.
We have time for one more question.
You mentioned a crusade in Louisville possibly in 76. Do you know what time of year that might be, or when other announcements might be made about it?
No, I don't. That has not yet been decided. Thank you very much.
Simon from the Courier-Journal. Yes, it's very nice to meet you.
To see you.
I knew a reporter there. He's no longer there, I know.
Laura Spade, yes.
I was here before.
He's a very famous.
Do you know where he is?
He was in Nashville working with the Methodist Church.
He was in Asheville for a while working with the government.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's now in Nashville.
Glad to see you.
Dr. Graham, would you do us the honor of signing our guest book?
Here's
a hand. While you're doing this, Billy, WAVE and Ryan Halloran, the NBC outlet here, would like just 2 or 3 minutes with you outside if that
is
possible.
All right.
Dr. Graham, would you honor Miss? I graduated from the college that you almost built in West Palm Beach.
Oh, really?
Dr. Jess Moody.
Yes.
Graduated there.
That's terrific.
I've waited for this all my life to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Graham, Jim West is also a student here. He graduated.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Graham is one of the students. They are representing a lot of our students.
This is somebody.
There's one piece of information about Susan Mason that you didn't mention. That was, I think, it's on his first stop in Switzerland after being deported. His first act was to go to my house.
That's right. Well, he's been, you know, he's the one man that stands out with the world moral courage today. We can all look to. And I'm looking. I'm hopeful. I can't say this publicly, but I'm sure I don't see him this summer. In fact, I thought I was going to see him when I was in Switzerland about 3 weeks ago. But his family came. He raises all so much money. I was going to see him. He had 72 pounds. And his lawyer, who he was living with at that time. We have a mutual friend arranged, and we are going to, he's being invited to his conference, and we're hopeful he's going to come to speak. We don't know, because he's not accepting any occasions at the moment. Thank you very much.
Speaking as a seminary student, we're grateful for your prophetic words this morning.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
We must run.
It's hard.
We have to go.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
What is his name?
His name is Bruce Mills. He's done a first-rate pioneer job in a new area, a newly formed community of Edinburgh. Now he's just started last month. I'd be very grateful, perhaps I ought to write to you about it, but I'd be very grateful if you could make it possible for me to come and observe the campaign sometime. He's the sort of person who could be used. He is mature now, theologically, though he's only about 32. The InterVarsity Fellowship is using him in Britain for reviews of theological works. He's going to raise him up. He's a first-rate man. He's still got to be made from the point of view of being a really expert instructor on evangelism. I mean, he realized it. He was going to be a theologian. He's dedicating himself now to being a man to train men for the to be evangelists in the ministry. And
what time of year is it easier for him to get away?
In a vacation, you see.
Which would that be, in the summer?
Easter, summer, yes, Christmas. And if there was an important enough reason to do so, he could
come to Lausanne.
I'm sure he could.
I'll see when he gets an invitation immediately.
Good. It's important because I think he'll be a key man in Europe.
Oh my!
Now that's a prophecy, but I've known you, see, for the last 10 years from before he began his theological
career.
He came from Dundee.
From Dundee. Oh, he's a Scot.
And an absolutely first-rate preacher. He's got everything that is required from the point of view of the ingredients.
Didn't the man by the name of Brown take your place?
That's right. He's a first-rate man.
That's what I heard.
And he's got the confidence of the people, the union, the evangelicals in Britain generally.
Well, thank God you're here. We're
We're glad to have him.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you for just a couple
bless
of minutes.
Your heart. Well,
and to make
if
sure you've
write
got
me
the,
both of their
yes,
names.
I will write the name.
I would like to see that they get invitations
good.
To Lausanne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Graham. I'm Frank
yes,
Thomas, the host here.
Yes,
with my
sir.
Wife.
Yes,
so
sir.
And
Ms.
Thomas.
We hope
thank
you
appreciate
back
it very much. Yeah. I wish we could have stayed longer.
Come back and see us again.
Gibbons.
Our staff.
Great to have you. Dr. Graham, down on your wife. Come from the animal tree here. Could you step up, son?
Mary Burns. Dr. Graham, let me take a couple of minutes.
Oh,
and after Stannis talked to you, I'd like to have some
fun, all right?
So, Tom.
Tom.
All right. I'm Roy.
Dr. Graham, as a personal friend of the president, could you kind of give me some idea, do you think whether Watergate has affected his ability as a president or affected him as a president?
All I know is what I read in the newspapers, and it would be my impression that he seems to be physically and mentally alert, more so than, let's say, a year ago. And I would think that he's in control of things at the moment. What is going to happen in the future, I'm no prophet, and I certainly don't have any inside information. I do know that I pray for him, and I was delighted that the United States Senate has called for a day of prayer and humiliation and fasting on next Tuesday, April the 30th. I think that could be a great turning point in American history if we would all go to our knees in prayer. That's what we need in this country, is to turn to God.
Do you feel that the president is guilty of any of the allegations charged against him?
That will come out, I'm sure. It would be very foolish for me to make a comment on that at the moment.
Do you feel that Vice President Gerald Ford might back down on his commitment to his wife not to run for a presidency or take up the presidency office in case of impeachment?
I have had no talk with Vice President Ford. He and I are longtime friends. I'm going to play golf with him very soon. And I seriously doubt if he would talk politics with me. He would probably talk to me about the Bible or about the golf game.
That's all I have to talk to you
thank
about.
Thank you.
Dr. Graham, you've been under rather severe pressure here this morning, so let me change the subject for our morning show guest. How's your golf game?
Well, I haven't played very much. I'm a jogger and a swimmer, and I do a lot of calisthenics, and my golf game has suffered. I'm hoping to pick it up again pretty soon because I'm going to be playing in two or three pro-am tournaments, and I've got to get ready for that. I may have to play with Bob Hope.
What do you shoot?
Well, normally I have about a 10 or 11 handicap, but I'm sure now it would be around 20 or 22.
Dr. Graham, in the press conference just concluded here a few minutes ago, you said that you thought the world suffered from a lack of good leadership at this time. Do you include the United States in that?
Yes, I do. I think that Watergate has diminished the leaders at the moment of our country. Perhaps it'll come back, but at least diminish their influence and perhaps their effectiveness to govern. And, of course, this is one of the tragedies of Watergate.
You've been very close to the President of the United States, and you're also a man of principles. You deal in the field of religion. How do you feel this has affected the country? What do you see ahead for us?
I think that we have been suffering from one judgment of God after another. I think Vietnam was a judgment. I think the energy crisis. I think Watergate. I think the Lord is trying to speak to us, and I think we better listen to the Lord's voice, and we better turn to God before something even worse comes upon us.
Communism?
I'm not thinking of communism so much. It's not a matter of an ism. I think that there are many things that could come. Inflation is a terrible thing. Inflation can destroy us, and we've got a 10% inflation right now that may rise to 15 or 20% within a year, and we could become like many of the countries have been destroyed by inflation.
What about our getting along with communism, the détente so-called? Are we getting closer to one world with them?
Not according to Mr. Cho En-Lai, who said a few days ago, I read on the front page of the Christian Science Monitor, in which he said, we're not preparing for peace, we're preparing for war, because he said the world is going to have a war. He said the revolution must take place, and he said it will probably be a violent revolution. And I hope he's not correct in that. I hope that we're going to have a period of peace. The president talks about a generation of peace. But I don't think from the Bible and from history that there's very much encouragement, because man's heart is not at peace. There's a war going on inside of our hearts. There's a war going on in our communities. And until we have peace in our hearts, we're not going to have peace in the world.
Dr. Graham, the recent NCAA basketball tournament put two or three or four religious colleges and universities into the headlines. Does Dr. Graham have any plans toward starting a university?
No, we're not going to start a university. I have enough headaches and problems now. But I've been asked and enticed and offered money and things like that to start a university or a college. But I feel that there's so many good ones now that I can support and help all over the world. And I want to continue to the end of my days just being a simple North Carolina evangelist that came from a farm. Senator Ervin is a friend of mine and a neighbor of mine, and he calls himself a country lawyer. I'm a country preacher, and that's my only ambition, is to serve the Lord in the capacity of an evangelist. And I don't intend to start a college or a university.
Dr. Graham, we thank you for coming to Louisville and for the encouragement and support you've given our Baptist Theological Seminary here.
Thank you,
sir. Have a good trip.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. You.
Fine, Dr. McCall. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, thank you.
Any other information you need?
No, I think that gets it. Do you have an invitation or an announcement or anything like that that I could read off to set the interview up? In other words, was there a, you know what I mean, a program, I guess?
No, there was not. The nature of his visit was a personal visit to meet with the students and faculty of the seminary for dialogue.
Okay.
He had a dialogue session with the students yesterday afternoon, a dinner with the faculty last night, and a chapel service this morning.
Okay, well, I'll stress one.